Hello, welcome to the Max Show. We've had a bit of comms issues today. We're not sure whether the doc's coming because, of course, he's still flooded out and he's passes stamped. And Will was definitely coming, but he sent us a message saying he's not. So we're now stuffed a little bit. But
lonely.
We have plenty of people here because we have joining us top left, Adam, top right even. How you doing, man?
Hey. Yeah. Depends on which side of the screen you're on.
Yeah, no. So it's all gone a bit pear-shaped here. But have you had a good week, buddy? Have you had a good week?
Yeah, it's been all right. Yep, just working away. Weather's getting nice. Trying to get out a little bit more.
Have you put new software on any of your machines at all? Have you got iOS 12 running anywhere?
Or? Oh, like betas? No.
No.
I never do beta 1. I don't have... Normally it would end up on like Mac OS would end up on my MacBook Air, but that's a 2011 model, and the new Mojave will not run on that. So I'm out of test machines. Excuse me. I could do a. I've thought about grabbing an external and doing a dual boot. I'm actually a little bit more excited about the Mac, which is ironic because I haven't even updated this machine to High Sierra yet.
Oh, no. We had problems with that, as we know, but we are now thankfully sponsored by Telestream, so thanks to them for saving us from having to use Google Hangout forevermore.
Oh, my God, that was awful.
Now, I was going to say joining us from France, but no, here he is, and he's even got camera technique. Look at that, he's done his hair, he's pulled over. Toes Rickards has come all the way from the south of France just for this show. No?
I want to say yes, but no. Sorry. I love you all dearly, and yes. So I'm a granddad, which is fabulous news. That's why I'm here.
So you've come back for the birth of your first grandchild.
I have, and I just want to say thank you so much, everybody in the Slack room who've been so lovely and sent me some lovely messages. And I believe I Confess Geek is also a granddad as well, isn't he?
Yeah, same day or just day.
Yeah, it was kind of kind of weird. We didn't realize we were in the same boat. So congrats to him as well.
But yours is actually quite a normal baby, whereas his looks like him.
Well, I don't think I've ever seen him face to face.
Well, you've only got to look at his caricature.
Oh, really? It's that good? It's that close? But yeah, so yes, I'm back in Blighty. Yes, the reason why I've come here has now happened, which is lovely. And I'm getting to spend a day with Ewan today. I've had some tears already with Ewan today.
It's been an emotional day.
It's been really emotional. And I want to say I'm joking, but I really haven't. I think I had some tears earlier, and I've had some bigger tears only 10 minutes ago, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
We took my cat to the vet to have a blood to sugar test. That was non-event. But then I dragged him along to Father's Day assembly at my kid's school. So...
It's true.
The hay fever was rather bad, wasn't it, James?
I tell you what, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. The kids played this brilliant song and we were humming it on the way back to the studio.
After all the music we've played this afternoon.
I know, we've been brainwashed a bit.
The earworm has disappeared.
It was very good. When you've got sort of like 5 to 10 year olds singing, you know, about how great dads are, I think it's hard not to get emotional because they've all got smiley faces.
Even when not one of them has anything to do with
you. I know. I went into a completely random school in Coastly.
I would suspect that being a recent new granddad factored into that a bit.
I'm sure. I think you were. Yeah. It's a role to take responsibly, I think, when you got these kids looking at you and telling you how good you are. It was a lovely moment for both of us, wasn't it, Ewan?
It was.
It was lovely. So thank you. It was something I probably wouldn't have said, oh, can I come to your kids' play? Can I? But I'm so glad we did.
We get to pick Briny up tonight when we're having a curry. So.
Yes, we'll be best of mates by then tonight.
And we're celebrating because my son has landed one of the major roles in Midsummer Night's Dream.
Wow.
They're running at the Midlands Arts Centre as well, so it's going to be a big old production. You'll have to come back up for that and I'll buy you a ticket.
There you go.
And next to James, it's Muller.
Hello.
You all right, mate?
Yeah,
fine, a bit close to the mouth, we'll be good.
Sorry.
There we go.
I can confirm he's definitely here with me.
He's been helping us with
training.
The fun and games of the afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Not the Father's Day assembly, but he's been helping us with our sound tests.
Yeah, listening to Taylor Swift over.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, can you give Muller a bit more volume, mate? Button three. Or button two, was it?
Button right, two. There we go.
Bottom.
That'll do. He's not bottom, no. He's delirious or oh, I can't remember the name. Begins with a D. Anyway, the week in Apple. Well, it's got nothing to do with Apple because we're not going to talk about Apple much today because there's only rumours and then we'll get to those at the end. Today has been the serious business of me listening to a HomePod for the very first time. I've never heard a HomePod till today. And when it played, was I impressed? Yes, I was. It's a lovely sounding speaker. There we go. But that's an aside.
Here we go. The but.
Because what we did was we did a sound test. So we did Sonos Play 1 on its own versus HomePod. And I would have said HomePod would have just edged that for me a little bit.
Just,
it's there or thereabouts. Then
I
we did,
totally disagree. There's not even a comparison.
Can I finish what I'm saying first, please?
No. How
dare you interrupt
behave
me.
Behave at the back of this class there.
Go on, then.
I'll go get
Teddy's.
Blimey. Ooh, sharp.
He's not even Bob Beach.
I know, he's cracking it on already.
Bob Beach, it's noticeable that Bob Beach is not in the Slack room. Oh, he is in the Slack room. I've missed him. There we go, he is now. We've wound him up some at Rotten. So then we did Play Ones as a pair versus HomePods as a pair. Thanks. We had a bit of a stumbling block there because someone hadn't updated their iPhone.
All right, thanks for that.
10.4.1. But we got past that. And then they played. And I've got to say, Play Ones, without a doubt, Play Ones sounded much brighter and fresher. Although the bass was really heavy on the HomePods. And it was so heavy that it was kind of muggy. The top end was missing. And then we put the Sonos 5 on. The Play 5, which killed everything.
I think, apart
from my M1 Active monitor reference speakers up here, which killed absolutely everything completely, but they should do so. They were expensive.
I would say at this point, we're very privileged to be in a room where we've got all this technology. I'm just going to put that up on the board there. If you didn't have any of this technology and somebody gave you a HomePod, you're going to be very, very happy with
that
HomePod.
You're going to be happy with it.
Yeah, you're going to be happy with it. Yeah. So I think it's all very well us sitting here with two Sonos Plays and two HomePods and a Sonos Play 5 as well to test and a couple of monitors. It's lovely to be in a room and hear the same track being played across all devices. But I can't just help feeling a little bit disappointed after watching so many YouTube videos. And as you guys know, I'm in France, so I've not been able to listen to this HomePod either. So part of me coming over to the UK was to buy two, which I have done, and listen to them for the first time with you. And I mean, this is the first time we've sat in a clean environment and we've listened to both. I'll be honest, I'm really disappointed because I just thought there was going to be something more there. And I'll be absolutely honest, hearing the Sonos Play Ones, that they sound great. And again, you've got to look at the price point on this as well. Because that's something as well not to be stiffed at. If you can afford a Sonos Play 1 on its own, you're going to have a great time. If you can afford two, it's going to be fantastic. I guess it's that whole thing, isn't it, is what do you want from a speaker at the end of the day? What do you want from it? Do you want to be in an Apple ecosystem, or do you have to launch a Sonos app to attain that music?
Yeah, so Sonos isn't going to tell me where the nearest cinema is when I ask it something else. And it's not going to tell me user information from Wolfram Alpha and all that kind of crap. So the HomePod is doing an awful lot more than just being a really good speaker, whereas Sonos is just being a good speaker. But it was, like I said, I listened to my first HomePod today. I thought it was a lovely sound. It was impressive.
Yeah, and I think what I'm going to take from today is if you can afford it and you can go there, a Sonos Play 5 and get two of those and it will blow your socks off. A Sonos Play 5 on its own.
That's expensive though.
It is. But if you're looking for something that's just going to, it's a no holds barred. This is the actual setup. Yes, if you can afford it. Absolutely. I get that. Absolutely. That would be two Sonos Play 5s would blow your mind. But again, you'll look at the size of those devices. They're very, very big. And, it's not something maybe your partner, I know my wife wouldn't like to see two Sonos Play 5s in the same room, but I think I could get away with two HomePods, definitely.
I want to go back to the Play 1.
Okay.
Because I have Play 1s, and I did a side-by-side comparison test. I didn't do a pair of Play 1s because I just was lazy and didn't want to bring it in, and I only have one HomePod, so I wanted to kind of compare that. So I'm very curious what you guys think the Play 1s delivered that made them edge out the HomePod for you.
Right. So can I go back to my first statement just to clarify? When there was, if you, I played the HomePod and the Play One, and I've got to say, I thought there was a rounder and fuller sound out of the HomePod, if a little bit too bassy, but it was a great sound. So the key for me changed when I heard them together as pairs. The HomePods did not play well together as a pair, I didn't think, whereas the Sonoses did play really well together as a pair. That's the difference.
Yeah,
In what way, though? I want a qualitative statement behind that. I'm just curious. So, I'm honestly curious because I want to know what you're hearing.
I heard
because I think that's what we're talking about ultimately, right? Is the sound that you're getting delivered?
So I mess around and I make myself out to be stupid sometimes, deliberately, sometimes not. But I've got two reference speakers up here, and I know what good audio sounds like out of those two. And we've played the same song across all of them. No matter what it was, it doesn't matter. It was the same song, and it's a comparison between all of them. Out of those reference speakers, there is nothing in this room that beats those two reference speakers. But the Sonos 5 is close, really close to the reference speakers, even on its own, which was really impressive. The Play 5, yeah. The Play 5. I found the HomePod to be nice on its own, and it had a good round sound, a little bit bassy for me, but it was okay. The Play Ones are a little bit tinnier, but a little bit more bright, but in a negative way when there was just one of them. When they were put together as pairs, then the Play Ones suddenly had bass that was there and mid-tones and high-end tones. Whereas the HomePods just went, they went like they'd gone grey and muggy. That's the only way I can describe it. It was like
lower.
It was like James has just done there when he's gone right up to it. It was like it was overmodulated, and it was too bassy.
Now I'm kind of curious. Those Play Ones, I'm assuming, or the HomePod's been firmware updated. I'm assuming they have.
Yeah,
the HomePods doesn't sound right.
It's 2.5 gigabyte update for each one. I forgot to put the latest software on my iPhone, which means I couldn't stereo pair correctly. But once I had done that, we were able to get the benefit of both. So yes, they've both been updated. Otherwise, I couldn't stereo pair them because of 2.5 gig update.
Right. That's weird. It just doesn't sound based on all the other things that I've heard, but I'm going to believe you guys. I absolutely believe you guys. Because that was my experience. Just to get back to the Play Ones, that was my experience again with the single Play One. That there was almost no bass. And even in the brights and the mids, it was a little tinny, I think, is exactly the right word for me that you're using, Ewan. So I obviously need to pull in the second one into this room and do that comparison. So that's why I wanted you to qualify it, is like, what is the sound that you're looking for? The other thing that I kind of felt that the Play One couldn't match was the separation of audio that the HomePod was able to deliver. So you could hear distinctly all of the, you know, each range, mid-tone, highs, and lows. I definitely agree that if you don't like a heavy bass sound, then you're not going to like the HomePods. And I've said that over and over again. They definitely do have a heavy bass range to them, or the one does. I as a stereo pair, it sounds like it just gets a lot louder. So I would imagine that's even more prominent.
Is there, because we haven't really played much with anything other than just what the default was that came out of them. Is there an EQ on the HomePod system?
Not at all.
There isn't.
No. They're supposed to intelligently adjust themselves. Yeah. And that's why I'm wondering if something went wrong where it just either it didn't scan the room right. I don't know where you had them positioned. I do know that one thing that's a huge factor with the HomePod is you can't have anything in or around it within about 6 inches, because it will detect that as a wall and it will adjust the sound profile.
One of the things
kind of have to be like, you can't even have like a bobblehead sitting next to it, or you know, a face, or if anything is within that sort of first 6 inches all the way around it, people have noted that that's a problem.
The only thing I actually said something that they tested them on this table. And the Sonos ones are on the ledge over there, and that's a solid surface where this is a bit, you know, shaky.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't doubt that you guys are hearing what you're hearing, and the reason for qualifying these sorts of tests is, and we were, I was mentioning this in the pre-show a little bit, it's important to remember for everyone that sound is so subjective. Yep. It's not like what one person hears. Everybody's ears are different. Everybody's, you know, tonal range is different. I mean, as proven by what was that thing that came out where, you know, you'd play that sound and one person would hear one word and one person would hear another word. And it was like, if your ears are hearing more in the highs or the lows, you know, that's going to change. And everybody likes different styles of music and speakers all present that different style of music differently. So there's not a wrong, I mean, the reality is there's not a wrong answer. You know, if you love the Play Ones and they work for you, then that's absolutely what you should be buying, or the Sonos Play Fives, or you know, the Amazon Echo or the Google Home. It doesn't matter. You really need to listen to them and then decide. And I think what you said at the top, Ewan, was very relevant, is the HomePod sounds great and a lot of people are going to be very, very happy with it. Mm. But definitely I would not buy one without listening to one first. Right.
Yeah, maybe I think, sorry, I think when I first heard it, I was like, yeah, perfect. And when I heard the second one, it was in the store environment. Right. The separation was quite large and it was a massive room. And it just sounded kind of earth-shattering, really. Although I couldn't really hear the detail because of the store being so loud. So I kind of took a punt on it, really, and bought them both. And obviously, this is the first day I've had a chance to actually, I said, be in what I call a normal room, which is a studio, but it's kind of normal room size, and hear it. And I can tell you now, I can't hide my disappointment, really. And that's tough for me to say, really.
That's
because,
an Apple man.
But yeah, I think that's the Apple in me guy. That's the guy going, damn, you know what? But then I've got to think of it again. If I switch those on now, having that time has now gone between me hearing the Play 5 and the Sonos Play 1s in pair, I think I'll still like it. I think, right. Because again, I'll go back to that whole thing about we're lucky we can be in a room with all these devices and hear them one by one. We are lucky, but I just don't think you're going to be disappointed with whatever you go with. I probably was because I built Apple up to...
What are you saying is I f***ed it up for you completely.
Yeah, thank you, Ewan. I'm so glad I'm here.
Otherwise you'd have been happy.
And look at this face. It's like, so I spent the best part of 640 quid. On what?
You know, I would also argue you want to take them back and put them in the space that you're going to be using them in too, right? Yeah, I mean, totally. You're making a good point, is you've got a great bunch of options of different speakers to try out, and you may be really very, very happy with them when you get them into your own space and they're set up in the place where you actually want them to be and you listen through some stuff. So... you know, I don't know if your plan is to just return them and get a pair of Play 5s. And if you can do that, more power to you. I have no doubt a pair of Play 5s is going to blow away a pair of HomePods. Those are $500 speakers.
Yeah. Each. I mean, you know, I think of it like this is I want my wife to be able to enjoy music without asking me to. Can you play that my, you know, a fairground attraction, etc. I want my wife to be able to enjoy music like I do. And I know I could pull my phone out and play any song to any speaker around my house. I know I can do that. But my wife can't. She's got an iPhone 6 Plus, 6S right. Plus, which she kind of uses as a phone and maybe plays Tetris every now and then. So he doesn't use it to its maximum. But she's not a techie person. She just can't grasp it or doesn't really find enough headroom to grasp it. So I will be keeping the HomePods, definitely, because as you said, when I go back to France, there'll be a whole new room and a whole new experience. But I really want all my family to be able to enjoy the music in every room they go into. And maybe when we do have a party, I'll bring the other one down from upstairs and we'll stereo pair them and have a party with them. As I said, I'm disappointed in the fact that right here, right now, in a test with all of them, they don't sound as good as I wanted them to be. And I think that's kind of where I'm at with that.
Again, I'll ask the question to you because I'm curious. So for you, was it the same sorts of issues that Ewan had in terms of the sound? Like in which way did you feel the HomePod was failing?
Yeah. Well, first of all, volume, just pure volume.
Play ones were louder.
The Play Ones. So the scenario was when we came in, Ewan obviously just put his speakers on. And my ears pricked up, and I think he could see by my face, I went, oh my effing Jeffin, they sound amazing. Right. And I really was. I was blown away because, and I'll use this analogy, was that they did sound. I used to work for Bose many, many years ago, so I'm used to kind of talking about speakers quite a lot back then, but maybe not so much now. But I would say definitely they were brighter. They sounded a lot lighter. But even with the high volume, I was enjoying the music. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? I was enjoying the music. I don't know why I was. I was just enjoying it. The minute I put my HomePods on, it felt like I almost knew this wasn't going to be that good. And I think Ewan could also tell by my face that I knew that this probably wasn't going to be as good. I think I want it to be, and it just wasn't there. Like I said, it just felt like it was at a lower volume, and just flatter. And it's really hard to say that because every YouTuber, and I can tell you now, I've watched every YouTuber unbox a HomePod, demo a HomePod, and they've all been really impressed.
That's just weird. Because again, with my single HomePod, I've never had that experience. And I have some Audio Engine. What are these P5s, the passive ones in here? And that's what I was using in this office before the HomePod.
Sure.
And don't get me wrong. I have a Sonos system in the living room and I absolutely love it, but it's a play bar and a Sonos sub and two play ones. I mean, so that delivers awesome sounds, but you know, that was a almost $2,000 setup.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like, it's great. So I'm going to definitely, now just based on what you guys have been saying, I'm going to pull both play ones in here and just see how that goes. I expect the two play ones together, will sound awesome compared to the single HomePod. I do still expect, just because they just don't have the speaker, you know, in it, that the bass is still going to be better with the HomePod versus two play ones. I'd be surprised if it can match the bass, but in terms of a full sound,
well, it can't.
Range, see, I have a feeling the play ones as a pair are going to do great.
Hang on, sorry. I never said the bass was better. Or louder. What I said was the sound was better. The bass was.
No, I'm saying I expect the bass to be fuller. Not that you did.
No, the bass is not fuller than the HomePods. The bass is less on the Play Ones.
Yep.
But that allows the mid tones and the high tones
to shine
a lot more.
Agreed.
And the problem was that the HomePod was so bassy that it sound and it killed the vocal. And everyone's going on in the Slack room or in the chat room about, oh, well, you played a Taylor Swift track. It's irrelevant what we played. It was a comparison of exactly the same. And if you are focusing on the track and going, oh, it's Taylor Swift, it's a pile of crap, then you're stupid. Because it is...
No, you're
a fanboy. Because what you're doing is, I played that Taylor Swift track on my active monitor speakers. These things are £1,000 each.
Yeah.
And they were the best in the room, apart from the Sonos on its own was really close to sounding as good as them.
The Play 5.
The play five, yeah.
But right, Bob Beach just said, if Taylor Swift sounds crap on a HomePod, I'm buying six of them.
So I do have another question, though. Did you guys try a bunch of different styles of music? I'm just curious.
We didn't have time to do anything other than one track.
Yeah,
we did full volume as well. That's the key part.
Yeah.
We played all of the speakers at full volume with that track on, because we're in an industrial estate. No one gives a shit.
Yeah, nobody's come to complain. I think what we might do is, before we pack up, we'll just run a few little. Ooh. I mean, if anybody in the Slack room in the chat right now wants to suggest some songs, just put the artist name and the track name. And what we're gonna do after the show is we'll just run a few through it and we'll have another listen. It'd be great in hindsight just to go back and that. Would you agree, Ewan?
I got no problem with testing another track, but the idea was a different styles of music. But the thing was to compare like for like across all four sets of speakers, which we did.
Yeah. Okay.
I would recommend trying Blackbird by the Beatles.
Blackbird by the Beatles, there you go. Remember that, Muller?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd?
Some Pink Floyd stuff would be good. Yeah. But I mean, try some jazz, try some classical. Mm. I mean,
and it's sweet.
Again, Ewan's point is correct. I mean, if you're trying the same track, you're hearing the same stuff, right? It was presumably mastered the same way. I'm assuming it was all from the same source.
Apple Music, yeah.
It was exactly the same album across all platforms, right, including my computer.
Yeah, agreed.
But I mean, it was the same. It was the same conversion, right?
Well, I do remember when I did work for Bose, we were told to play music in a certain order. So this is a bit of a tech back in the days. So we were told to play music in a certain order. And I always remember Hotel California, put the live edition. Don't put the normal one on. Put a live edition on where you've got the women go, that you've got everybody going whoop whoop, and there's a bit of clap in the background. And it really, right. if you were buying the sort of the Bose sort of surround sound, you really felt like the clapping was coming from behind you. But if you played the normal track, it didn't sound so good, and it was really weird. And then we also played the Money. Who does Money?
Right, yeah.
Pink Floyd Money.
That's so, Pink Floyd. That would be a great one to test.
So you know the start of Money, the sound, the cashier at the start?
Right, you got
it plays off the left and right speaker beautifully. Right. Whereas, as we can say, if I say Taylor Swift, it kind of mixes the audio altogether. It sounds a bit mushy. But Money was definitely, again, we played Money first because that right. left and right separation was there. Then we played Hotel California, the live version, and that just sounded incredible. I really mean that. I mean, the hairs would stand up on your arm. When you plucked that guitar, you felt like you were part of the audience. It was great. You'll never go to a Bose store, even now, even one, there's one in Birmingham, and they will play a modern piece of music. They just won't do it because the sound is so scrambled, really, in comparison to the older songs. And I just find that really interesting that we were told to sort of play things in a certain order.
The other thing I'm curious about is maybe do some testings. I'm assuming you guys don't listen to the music at 100% volume.
Oh.
I get why you were doing it, but
true. Yeah.
I do.
You know what happens when you put them at a real world, like this is how I would normally listen level, and is there a difference? That's the only thing I'm asking. I'm not saying right or wrong on anything. I'm just curious if that changes it at all.
I told you my story about buying a hi-fi for the kitchen.
Right.
So my next door neighbor used to be a real audiophile, Bob. And he said, whenever you go anywhere, he says, always listen to the speakers full blast so that you can see if they clip or not. He said, and that's the key. So we went into Curry's and I was buying just a little tiny micro system. It wasn't a great speaker system. It didn't need to be. I don't know why I thought about it, but I thought Bob always told me to do it at full volume. So I went in there and I said to the bloke, yeah, that's okay. That's really nice. Got a CD. I brought my own CD. Can I put it in? Yeah, no problem. I said, can you turn it up a bit? And he went, well, I don't want, there's other people here. I said, I want it all the way up. And I turned it all the way up and the guy's looking at me and he said, is that okay? And I went, yeah, a bit longer. He went, how big's your kitchen?
Yeah,
all right. Sorry, mate. I've been a bit of a twat there. So out in the studio, we've got a white room and I've got an Amazon Echo out there.
Yeah.
And because it's a little tiny speaker, it's not brilliant, but it projects into the white room and then comes back out again, which kind of doesn't amplify it, but it gives it a really nice sound.
It fills the sound out.
It fills it out. And I play that at full volume, and all the models love it. I think it sounds fantastic, so. Because I haven't done anything else yet. But no, it's the thing that always gets me about the HomePod is I think it's a great speaker. It's got a lovely sound to it. If you're into your basses, if you're listening to R&B on it or something like that, or rap, you're probably going to love it. But why has it not got a ceiling mount? It needs a ceiling. No, I look at it and it's like, I want that in the middle of my room. It's why have I got a 360-degree speaker and then shove it against the sodding wall? I want it in the middle of my room, in the ceiling, either side of the lights, and I'd have the most amazing sound in my room.
Yeah.
Short sighted.
And the reason I bring up trying different volume levels and putting, because that was another test that I did do with when I was doing the Play One and the HomePod, and I have found, because I have to listen, because I'm in an office where there's other people in the house, and some of them don't always like out loud music, so I'm constantly listening at a very low volume. I don't run my HomePod in here usually above 20% volume, and the one difference was when I would put the Sonos at that same volume, I couldn't hear things. I would have to bring it up to actually hear everything, whereas what I have been impressed with the HomePod, and I have to imagine it's because of the software side of it, the intelligent, you know, room spacing thing, I can still get all of that audio separation even at low volume. Like I can still hear the vocals even over the bass, even at a low volume.
Well, what was interesting,
which is important to me in a real world scenario, like this is how I have to use the speaker day in and day out. So that becomes very important to me, and it gives it an edge. I'm not saying it's better or worse. I'm saying it for me, it makes that's one reason why I like having this speaker in my office.
Mm.
I mean, what's interesting is obviously I'm planning to get returned back to France in probably 2 weeks now. and you know, and obviously when I did the show then, it'll be interesting to kind of how I feel about it once, as you said, in situ.
And you won't have your Play 5 then to compare against. Because you're leaving it with me today.
Somebody wants to buy a Play 5 off me. Anybody want to make me a good offer on a Play 5? I'm waiting for a good offer. Anybody?
About $350.
Again, I think the really important takeaway from this is, you know, Apple being in this market and bringing this speaker out, I think only, you know, is good for everybody.
Yeah.
Because it's another choice, right? Yeah, it's another absolutely. Thing that you can go, and if you're all in on the Apple ecosystem and it works for you, awesome. You have another thing at a kind of a mid-tier price point. And I kind of feel like that's where it is competing. Like if you have that kind of money to spend on a speaker, it's a good choice. Is it the right choice? You're going to have to figure that out on your own, right? It might be a pair of Play Ones. It might be I guess they still sell the Play 3, although they're not really advertising it very much. Or I guess it's Sonos Ones now. And that's another thing is I think the Sonos One supposedly has even an edge over the Play Ones. Like they've tweaked some things and they've made it a little bit better. So, you know, I'd love to test a Sonos One, but I just don't have one. So
I'm sure they'd send you one, mate, with all you've got.
Yeah, and that hasn't worked so far.
We've been fishing this afternoon quite a lot, and Bob Beach has bitten every friggin' hook we've dropped out to him. So well done, Bob.
But the thing I want to remind people is this isn't a competition,
a right or wrong,
because we're talking about speakers at various price points at various, you know, it's so subjective, and you really need to figure it out for yourself, because again, what I like is maybe not what Ewan likes, is maybe not what, you know, Mueller or anybody else or Bob Beach likes. You know, it's really going to be different. And I still do struggle a little bit. You know, I will say for the HomePod, for me, there's many instances where I feel like the bass is a little bit too heavy, and I do wish you could tweak it. I don't think Apple's going to ever let us do that. Luckily, I've always felt like the bass doesn't drown out the other sounds. So, you know, that sort of makes it, but I don't like a lot of heavy bass in my music. And if there is a bass presence in a track, it will be enhanced and brought up by the HomePod. And if that's something you don't like, you might want to look at a different speaker.
Well, I'll say it again, I'm not going to sell these. I'm going to, I'm taking my HomePod definitely home. And I am looking forward to playing it, quite rightly, as you said. I mean, this is just a sheer out-and-out test. And while I'm not happy with kind of what I've heard here, I'm certainly not giving up on it. And I do believe that Apple has the ability to make this software, like all software, better. And who knows, we may get any clients at some point that does make it more refined for us. With Apple, I know you never say never. I remember saying at one point, Apple would never release an iPad mini, ever. Why would they? The iPad is so great. Why would they make a mini version of this?
I have another question for your test, actually. When you played to the HomePods, did you play directly from Apple Music on the HomePods, or did you guys AirPlay to them?
Ooh, that's a good question. Now, I think
AirPlayed. They were via the network, both of them.
Yeah, we didn't ask it directly to play.
No.
Taylor Swift.
Okay, I will tell you this: the volume when I AirPlay from iTunes to my HomePod is probably about half if I ask it to play direct from Apple Music, like via Siri. Right. I have noticed that, and I don't know why that is. I haven't been able to figure it out. I chalked it up to being AirPlay 1, maybe, but I don't have any proof or evidence of that. So I have noticed that. So like, because I tried it with my Apple TV too, and I was somewhat disappointed when it was playing from my Apple TV to directly to the HomePod.
So Adam, you're just saying then, we just say, hey, Squidgy, play this song, and just
correct.
Keep right. Okay. That's great. That's a great suggestion.
I don't know why there was a difference, but I definitely have to crank the volume much higher when I was playing from an AirPlay source.
It's kind of like, pause the show. Let's test it.
And the one reason I noticed it is because when I was testing, I did want to test a couple different services. So I tested Amazon Music, and the only way for me to do that, obviously, with the HomePod versus like the Echoes or whatever else I had, was to AirPlay it from my iPhone. Sure. And there was definitely a sound difference, and I don't know why.
Okay, well, shall have a test. Yeah, and we shall report back.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely one for the show next week for sure. We'll keep the struggle going.
All right.
But thank you for that, though, Adam. That's a great suggestion.
Well, I mean, but if that is the case, Apple has a problem. And again, I was kind of hoping it was an AirPlay 2 thing. And I don't know if High Sierra was updated with AirPlay 2 yet or not. So
I just want to finish by pointing out one point of logic, and that is that all of us have agreed that everybody listens to music differently, and everyone's perception of music and how they see it as good or bad is completely different, and no one's disagreed with that at all.
Yeah.
Right.
So then Apple has given you a device with no equalizer that allows you to tailor the music as to how you want to listen to it.
Because Apple knows what's best for you. You haven't learned this.
Sorry. I have just confounded their logic there, and they just...
Since when have they ever given us options on everything? They decide what's best for us, and they give it to us. And it's a service.
What's best for people who buy music is an equalizer. Perhaps with some presets.
Oh, that's your opinion. It's not Apple's opinion.
Yeah, no, stop defending Apple, Adam. Even you know that
You realize I'm not defending it, right?
You are fishing there for me to bite, and I'm not doing it.
Oh,
pointing
gosh.
Out the arrogance of a lot of their logic.
I would say
it's nothing new. That's the only thing. It's like, being an Apple fan, we know that they do this. That's all I'm pointing out.
Yeah. Again, I think what's really cool is that, again, from everything we've learned today, that the Play 5 really is a great speaker. And if you've got the room and you've got the budget, that is a great speaker. You know, after everything we've said about everything, the Play 5 really is a monster speaker. And I would doubt anybody not enjoy the sound that comes from that. It really did make me go, yeah, that's a good speaker.
Yeah, the other thing I have to say about investing in Sonos versus Apple, you know, Apple's going to update and improve these things. Sure. But a big philosophy with Apple is going to be, you know, they're going to want to keep pushing you to buy more hardware because that's where they make their money, right? So as they add new features, you know that the first generation HomePod is going to get left behind at some point. Sonos has been an amazing company at constantly through software tweaking and improving their speakers. So I bought my Sonos system, and it's, you know, a lot better today than it was, you know, 3 years ago when I bought it. And they're constantly doing that. They're constantly tweaking the software. They're constantly adding improvements. They're constantly making them better, which is kind of an amazing thing. So you might think, you know, I'm investing a lot of money up front, but you're getting, there's some value that I think a lot of people don't think about. And Sonos has been very, very good at that, at continually updating the firmware, making what you already own even better, which is kind of a cool thing.
I think well said. Yeah, definitely well said.
So enough about that then.
What a great discussion.
James is depressed.
That was really good.
No, thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you, Adam. That's food for thought for sure.
40 minutes.
40 minutes.
I like them.
Do you?
Yeah, I do like them.
Cool.
There you go.
Valve removes
sold.
Wound.
Valve.
Valve removes game purchasing option from Steam Link in hopes of Apple Store approval. Now I've picked this one up, and this is Thursday the 14th of June on it. Mm. But I thought they'd been kicked again. But not since that. No,
not since that article. This is a new article. Yeah.
So
I think it dropped yesterday. I believe that story did.
But there's no word on whether they've got approval or not. So they got kicked the first time because of the in-app purchases, and now it's not going to be kicked.
Hmm.
Available. What are they putting out? Oh, that's the like streaming
Steam Link
gaming thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Valve has removed the option to purchase games within the app. Instead, the app now informs users that games are available to purchase on a PC or Mac according to.
Oh God.
This is just a pure income thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Apple going, where's me 30%?
It's just Apple's, it's Apple's draconian like thing when it comes to that, right?
Yeah.
It's really inconvenient for the problem that I have with this is for certain services, it becomes very inconvenient for the user, especially when you're on like an iOS. Does this run on iOS? Maybe it's Mac only, but especially in the instances where it's an app that runs on an iOS device and you've got to completely like break out of the experience, go to a browser, which may or may not work. You know, so like I've wanted for a while for Apple, and I think they've done this with some services, at least in terms of tweaking the fees that they charge, to, you know, work with certain companies. You know, there's certain instances where I think it makes sense for an app to be able to have its own in purchase scheme, right? This links to Steam, which is already an existing thing, and they're never going to give up that revenue. So what you're ending up doing is you're ending up just harming your users. You know, I think Mac users then suffer, or Apple users suffer on these services because of the decisions, again, that Apple makes.
Is this a bit of a who's going to blink first thing, though? Because I can't see that Steam is that worried about being in the App Store. It'd be nice to have.
They're not.
I don't think it's the be-all and end-all. No. Whereas actually, if they were in there, Apple are going, well, we don't need the income because we're the richest firm in the entire planet. So why would we bother? And it's like neither of them have got a real incentive to see this through, absolutely. And
correct.
Steam have gone away and gone, oh, we'll make a little tweak. But they're not. If Apple rejects them again, I think Steam will go, do you know what?
That suffer are their users, right?
They don't need them. They don't need them. Steam don't need Apple.
As long as, obviously, you know, as we know about them, authenticating the app when it comes to in a few years' time, that all App Store developers have to have an authentication thing. We were talking about that roughly last year.
Yeah, so they want that in.
So that's what they want. They'll be looking to have a presence on the App Store, because eventually, you know, luckily we're all clued up with this sort of stuff. We know we can download the app from the website, etc. But some people will eventually only ever buy from the App Store, the Mac App Store, you know, the one that just reinvented. So some people will only do that. And of course, as the years goes on, they'll feel safe and secure that that's the only real way to get software. And that's a very clever move on Apple to do that. And it's a bit of a what I call a drip feed that we slowly will be turning to the Mac App Store for everything, which is why, you know, as we know, BB Edit and etc. are now going to be on there, because I think they know the same as we know, is that will be a done thing soon. Whether that's good or bad, well, that's for the future to tell us. So I think
No,
it's okay. No.
Never say never. I mean, they did work with Amazon. They've done it on the video side, where they've adjusted the 30% down for certain people to get those that functionality into the Mac App Store or the App Store. So, you know, it's something where Steam or Valve is going to have to work behind the scenes with Apple to maybe get them to tweak the rules for them. And they're large enough that they could if they wanted to. Your point is valid, though, Ewan. And the question becomes, is it worth it for them? Do they care enough not?
I hadn't thought of James's point about you can only be on the Mac at all, potentially, if you're verified. So.
And this is it.
They could get a verification without having to get an app passed. That's a different thing. But getting an app passed helps with the verification potentially down the line.
Yeah, and you're in their net as well at that point. You know, you are substitute. Well, you know,
it's not.
I'll point out that changes with Mojave, right?
Well,
go on.
So Apple is adding. Oh, I had it in my show notes. I keep forgetting what the name of it is.
Don't worry.
But starting in Mojave, developers will be able to submit their app to. It's not to have it reviewed versus the Mac App Store rules, but it's just to give it a certificate or a blessing to say, okay, yes, this isn't doing anything malicious. It's not. You know, like uploading all your data to a cloud server or whatever like that. And then when you sell outside the Mac App Store and you download that app, it'll just run even though you have Gatekeeper turned on. You won't get that problem where you have to do the right-click open because it wasn't, you know, blessed through the Mac App Store. So that was announced at Worldwide Developer Conference. And again, I can't remember what they call it. It's like,
I remember that, but my concern with that would be that it's the thin end of the wedge. And eventually there'll be a slow increase up to the point of you can't put anything on a Mac that we haven't sanctioned, like you can't with iOS.
Potentially. I mean, yeah, it could. I mean, Windows does that now with Windows 10, right?
Wow. Okay.
Isn't that right? Or the light version of Windows? I can't remember.
What, you can't install any software that they haven't sanctioned?
Yeah. Really? I can't remember which version it is. It's one version of Windows. If you don't have the Pro version, they have two different versions. It's that S version or whatever that they did for the tablets and the hybrids. And
oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, that's
10S. Cool. That's cool. It. Windows 10S.
Yeah.
You can only buy from their app store.
Notarized apps, says Bob.
That's it. Yep, that's right.
You know Bob's going to help you out, right, but he's not going to help us out. We've wound him up all afternoon.
And the app is not subject to the Mac App Store rules if you get it notarized. It's just you submit it to Apple for them to look it over to make sure that it's not, you know, malware, basically.
Yeah, gatekeeper aren't going to stop you from opening it.
Yeah, no. I love this story. Just because of the pure logic of it. Verizon launches its third unlimited plan with 75 gigs worth of data. I don't want a conversation about that. It's just American sales. Wow.
75 gig, though, that's a lot, isn't it?
No.
Are you doing with 75 gig? Seriously, what are you...
With
come on, Adam,
app,
tell me.
With every app doing something in the cloud now, it's really not. I mean, if you're doing photo syncing, if you're doing backups, if you're doing... You know, and then throw that on a family plan or something like that. It's amazing the amount of data that you can be pushing through a cellular network.
I agree. And if you do hotspotting, that's 27 gig a month.
Yeah, not to mention downloading HD and now 4K, you know, streaming HD and 4K video, which people want to do, which is crazy, right? But you don't want to go in and tweak your settings every time you want to, like, go mobile.
Yeah. One thing I've noticed being in the UK for a few weeks,
been in France too long. That's the trouble.
I think that's probably it is. I'm just used to not much data. But since being in the UK for 2-3 weeks, I've just changed my wife's plan to what seems to be quite popular. It's 12 gigabytes of data, unlimited text, unlimited minutes for £16 a month, which to me sounds like a cracking deal. 12 gigabytes. Well, I looked at my wife's actual usage on the My3 app. And she was using 1.5 gig a month on average. And bear in mind, she can take that phone to France and use that data in France as well. It's pretty good. What I think is pretty good value. One, I'm surprised that you guys think 75 gig is a little bit, you know?
I switched to T-Mobile and got a true unlimited plan, and I've never looked back.
I've got true unlimited. I sit and watch Sky Sports all the time.
Yeah, well, I guess
granted, I say true unlimited. It's not. It does get throttled after 32 gigabytes a month per device. Per device.
Yes.
So I like if England are playing cricket on the way home, I'll plug it in to my power source. I'll put Sky Sports on, and then I'll turn it face down on the car seat, so I get the audio through the car stereo system, but I don't have to watch the physical feed. It can't distract me. I just want to point that out a lot.
I just want to point out, I've just noticed you've got a Mac Pro in the house.
Yeah.
It looks like my HomePod with the top on it. Is that what they did with them all? They squashed them and took the top off?
Oh, that's the best machine ever, Matt. I love that machine. Have you not? You wait till you see inside it. That's the beauty.
Well, I've just not seen one in so long. Wow.
That's it.
Sorry. Flashback.
Yeah. I've got, have you seen my original Mac SE? The prototype.
No.
I'll show you that before you leave.
God. Hey, all the fun. Adam, look what you're missing.
James will walk out here with wood.
I've seen it online. That's the one he took.
Took to the Apple Store.
Did you take the prototype to the Apple Store?
Yeah, you had a video on that, right? Yeah, yeah.
There.
Cool. Took the prototype to the Apple Store to get it fixed. Under warranty.
Yeah. He'd have argued the case as well.
I would.
And they tried.
Apple confirms plans to disable the law enforcement access iPhone via the grey box key, but apparently there's a story out there that's saying that the grey box key have already worked out how to bypass that in iOS 12.
The cat and mouse scenario is a real thing.
Utterly secure for a good 45, 50 minutes there, chaps.
We're doing all we can.
Is this just going to be another, you know, hare and a tortoise or a leapfrogging process? And wouldn't there have been better to just come up with an agreement of some...
I think the question is what do you agree on? And if you agree on something, then that's agree on America, agree on China, agree on the rest of the world. One wolf for one. You just got to do it for everybody. So I don't think they'll have an agreement. I think Apple will always chase to break, if you like, these things that people are doing. And, you know, it's who's got the most money and who's got the most manpower to put on these things. I think so anyway. I think Lowe's trying. I think Lowe's be seen to be doing what they can. And you're quite right. Within, you know, probably 45 minutes, that it was the most secure thing in the world. And already it's been broken because people like a challenge, and they always have done. That's how, you know, that's how we got an app store in the first place. You know, Steve Jobs didn't want an app store on the phone, allegedly. And people just went, no, we'll do it ourselves. And they've always been chasing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were seeing apps before Apple went, well, actually, this is actually a thing. So I think, you know, it's this will always be a thing. They will always be seen to be trying to crack down. And that's not a bad thing.
I think there should be some sort of access for law enforcement, though, as long as it's controlled.
I don't think you can control it. Look, I mean, you look at the amount of stuff we have in the UK at the moment, you know, car phone warehouse leaking people's addresses, couriers leaking people's addresses.
Because law enforcement has proven that they can keep wraps on all that stuff and keep it private.
Won't go on a server, will it? I mean, it's only if they get a court order or a warrant. Shouldn't be able to just go up there and get it.
Yeah, it's who you're giving the keys to at the end of the day, and you know.
I wouldn't give keys. I'd just allow Apple to be involved in the process.
Yeah, that's what they're getting forced
to. But Apple can't get. Apple doesn't have access to the data.
I know it doesn't. That's now. The thing. No, I know it doesn't now. But what I'm saying is, at the time when San Bernardino was taking place, it did, and it could have helped, and it refused to. And I would rather see a process whereby a manufacturer can be included in a legal process rather than trying to play this leapfrog backwards and forwards, and also then giving total encryption to people who we don't want to have total encryption because their purposes are nefarious.
I think it's a San Bernardino one.
You just can't have both.
Yeah. You've got to say whatsinitforme.com.
No, I don't disagree that at this point in time it's not possible to have both, but the work should be towards working out how you can have both rather than leapfrogging, because there's a massive cost to that puts the devices up in terms of cost, and then just doesn't actually achieve anything at the end anyway.
It's that whole thing about who's the most responsible. The responsible argument, I think, in all of this is, you know, who's responsible for the data on the phone. You know, who should be responsible at the end of it? Should be the end user, surely.
But you've got to have, I think, we go back, I'm not going to redig San Bernardino up because we had a long discussion about that, but there is a process that I think where you've got the oversight of law, it is okay to have you know, it's like your door on your house is okay to be opened under warrant. It's not at the end of the world to have that process, but I also accept that the phone is different, but I think the money would be better spent trying to find a solution that both sides would be accepted to, rather than just trying to leapfrog and putting the price of devices up in the wrong run because of the fact that they have to put so many resources into the leapfrog. I have thought about it.
You have.
USB-C might be coming to iPhones in 2019.
Never.
Hallelujah.
Nope.
Definitely not. Nope. Why?
Well, Apple have already shown us. Sorry, Adam, but you can back me up on this, I'm sure. Apple will have shown us the future of iPhone is iPhone 10. iPhone 10 has a key, the Qi charge. So they don't want any ports on this thing. The fact that they're saying in the future we're going to have this port, which I know is universal, it's used by everybody, it's really cheap to manufacture, blah, 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 blah. They've shown us they don't want any ports on that phone. It costs money to create that port on the bottom of that thing. That tooling has to be done by a machine, and they've got to make that. If they can get away without doing that, which they have on the iPhone 10, they've showed you that the Qi charger is the way forward. I don't see any ports other than a speaker grill in the future. Adam?
Yeah, I can't argue with any of that. I mean, if anything, that's where we're heading. And as far as adding USB-C, the only thing that's probably behind this rumor is they're going to switch to including a USB-C to Lightning cable in the box. That could likely happen, and it might be a USB-C charger that's in the box. You know, the wall wart. But other than that, no. I mean, there's no incentive for them to change that design.
So your iPhone craps out, you take it to the Genius Bar, there is no way of putting in something to get a diagnostic.
Who says they can't do it through the Qi charger? Who says there isn't a way that they haven't thought about? I know what you're saying, some way of connecting that physically to a cable. But I think, you know, I mean, I remember the days of being on in the Apple store, you know, and we had to connect the phone to a laptop. Oh my God, it has to connect to a laptop for us to be able to diagnose it. And we spent years doing that. And if the laptop died, we'd be running around going crazy in the Apple store. And then suddenly Apple went, you know what, if it's got Wi-Fi, we can now connect it to the Wi-Fi network. And they do that every single day now. There's not, if somebody in the Genius Bar has to go and get a laptop, it's like, oh, Jesus Christ. It feels so archaic now to have to do that. And you'll see their faces going, I've got to go and get a laptop. It's almost like the most undone thing. So, for people who don't know, if you take your iPhone to the app, to the Genius Bar in any Apple store, they connect it to the Wi-Fi and then run the diagnostics through that, which I still think is a bit science fiction, really. They can tell the battery levels and things like that. It's very, very clever. So I don't know. Who knows what the future will bring when it comes to diagnosing a phone without any connectors.
So definite no.
Definitely. Well, I think Adam's is close, I think, on that, that there could possibly be, I mean, do you know what? Yeah, we know a lot of people use this. Let's throw a 20p connector in there and that'll keep the world happy for a while. But I really believe when Tim Cook came on stage with the iPhone 10 and went, this is the future of iPhone. And, you know, remember, he released the iPhone 8 alongside it and went, well, you know what? If you're not happy with this, we've got this device for the people who want a new phone and are happy with those connections and the buttons that they want. But when you look at the iPhone 10, yes, it's a lot more expensive. It really is an expensive tool, but that technology inside there is brilliant. The Qi charger is great. And what we're going to see, and we're already seeing in the UK already, that the shops are having those wireless points already, you know, and that's unbelievable to go to Starbucks or Costa Coffee, and on the table you'll rest your drink on, you can now charge your phone on it. Just brilliant. And
that's been around for a while.
It has, but I think now there's more users, but iPhone 10 especially, it's going to be more prevalent for sure.
Or an 8 or an 8 Plus.
Absolutely. It's in those as well.
Right. Okay.
There you go.
Definitely.
Did we win that, Adam? We won that one.
I wasn't debating that one.
I don't think there was an argument to be made. It was just pointing out that people are saying there may be a USB-C port on it.
No.
They can say whatever they want. Doesn't mean they're right.
Sure.
This podcast and all these brought to you by Telestream. Thank you so much to them for looking after us. We were in the doldrums. We were away with the fairies because we were using... You can't whisper when you've got the microphone. If you want me to do the bash, just say you and do the bash first. Okay, thanks, man.
After Telestream.
The ad.
So the Telestream were fantastic. They stopped us having to use Google Hangouts, which is okay for a time, but not as good as this setup, which is just superb. Please check them out. If you've got anything where you want to broadcast an event or something like that, then they are the people you want to have as your software. And they've also got ScreenFlow 5, which is just brilliant as a screen capture piece of software. So check them out. And please send a message. Say thanks very much at Telestream for supporting At British Tech, because we'd be lost without them. Really, really would. UK2, of course, they've supported us for a long time now, and they're going to carry on as well. They give us a nice server, two nice servers that we run everything on, and backs us up. And it also gives you the not quite live channel as well, which is just lovely. And the last word, just shoot, goes out to Boya. I went and got measured a week ago Monday for me glasses. And guess what? They turned up on Wednesday.
Oh.
Here they are. This is a picture of my very glasses. Those are the ones that I have. Now, I said to Mark, oh, you're coming down for the Mac show on Friday. He went, I can't. I've got a meeting booked in Manchester. I can't go. And he's like, oh, no. And he's going to wait till the other pair come, the VDU pair. But that's what they're going to look like on me. Bit Harry Potter.
I was going to say you're a wizard, Ewan.
Yeah, I'm going to strike a Z on my forehead. If you look on the right-hand side, look, the furrow in my brow up to the top of my hairline does look like a bit of a Z. I could be Harry Potter. You're all in deep shit if I am. Expelli bloody armus, mate. You're all off. So hopefully, I don't know when Mark's going to get down, but hopefully we'll have the glasses very, very soon, and we'll do a fitting and everything live on the Mac show, and then we'll have a curry afterwards. Right. Time for the cool things. Start us off, Mr. Mac.
All right. I'm going to do one that's a freebie. Actually, Adobe. So I do web development, and part of that, a big thing that I have to do is user interface design. Some people call it UX design. So you should check out Adobe XD, which is their user interface sort of software. And it's got layers, it's got all kinds of tools, it's got templates that you can download. So you can get all of your kind of interface elements or icons or whatever you might want to use. It has presets for all of your different screen sizes. Of course, you can do custom screen sizes. And it's a really fast and easy way to do layouts. And you can also then move from a design mode to a prototype mode, and you can actually hook up different screens and views with links and have them actually work almost like a functional prototype. And then it's something that you can then, if you do have Creative Cloud and you have Adobe subscription, you can share out to Adobe servers, send a client a link, and they can actually click through the interface. You know, it's not full HTML, but it's just an easy, quick way. Hey, if I click this button, it goes to this screen. If I click the back, it goes back to that other screen. And it is amazing. And I love it. I've been using it since it was beta because I had access through Creative Cloud. But now I can't remember what the current version number is, but totally free. And it's brilliant. It's if you have to do any kind of, whether you're doing them for an iOS app or a Mac app or a website, it is a really easy way to prototype something very, very quickly. And you can pull in PSD files. So if you're working with a designer, something like that, that's fully supported. It's got full layers. It's awesome. Adobe XD.
Excellent. Makes CC. Good stuff like that. James, do you have anything for us?
So I was going to mention this last week, but then something else, I think a face cap came up last week, which was pretty cool. This app's called Gyroscope. Now, I've always said that the way Apple do the kind of whole workout thing and the way they display it is very simple. You know, you've done this many steps, da-da-da-da-da-da. So what Gyroscope does is takes all of the data that you know, obviously your sleeping data, your walking, your where you go around on your daily sort of drive or whatever, and basically it maps it all for you. And what I love about it is the way it actually displays it. So when I first downloaded Gyroscope, it's a free version. You can have a paid for monthly, which I don't really think you need. I kind of was going to delete it within about four minutes of downloading because I thought this is a nightmare. It's not very good. Doesn't look very good. But what it needed was a week of data. And what it was able to do then was display that data in a weekly report to something that actually looks pretty funky. And I would say it's quite close to sort of, what's the film with Tom Hanks in the future? The precogs are in it. I forget what that film's called. Anyway, it looks
Minority Report.
Minority Report, yes. The data it actually shows you.
That's not Tom Hanks.
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise, apologies. Tom Cruise. It's all that gin. They're trying to force me gin here. And basically, it takes your normal data, which we know is all on the phone, your heart rate, your steps, place your visit, and your sleep, and just puts it into something that looks pretty damn good. And obviously, the more data you give it, so I'm now on my, I think, second, going to my third week with it now, it's showing you like a weekly report, and it's so cool the way it does it. And what I love about it is also shows you, like on a map, where you've traveled to. So you can see where you go around in kind of your normal, you know, whether you go to work or whatever. It shows you this really cool looking map. I'll just say to you, it's free. Download it. Just give it, let it access your health data and your steps, etc. And I think you really will get something out of it. What's also nice is it's got something called Mood. It says track your mood. And what it enables you to do is just ask you a few questions. It says we've got 5 minutes to ask a few questions. Are you feeling productive? Yes or no? Are you feeling sad? Are you feeling happy? Then it gives you kind of a mood chart as well if you're into that sort of stuff. So there's lots of nice things inside there, and it's free, so why not give it a go? It's just a great way to see your data formatted nicely for a change. But give it a week, and I promise you, when you get your first weekly report, you look at it and go, yeah, that's a bit tasty. So that's Gyroscope.
Cool, mate. Thank you. Link from Muller in the chat room. It's
Thank
one
you
of
for
the
that.
Only or few that you should be able to click. Muller, have you got a cool thing for us? You have been on the show, so.
I didn't.
You didn't bring one? Okay, that's fine. Don't worry.
I can do one for him.
Go on then.
Green Man Gaming. So this is, if you're a gamer, especially a PC gamer, or you've got your Mac formatted to run Windows, Green Man Gaming is a great place. They do like vouchers for Steam, funny enough. But you can get some great deals, and they never fail to amaze me. If you sign up to their newsletter, they don't spam you too often, and they've got some great Father's, obviously it's Father's Day in a few days' time, so there's some great deals for Father's Day, and obviously lots of vouchers for lots of games, whether they're strategy or sort of just a bit action, really. So Green Man Gaming, fantastic. Another one that's close to that is Instant Gaming. Again, great deals on some computer games, which normally, if you, a great example, guys, if you go to Steam and you see a game for £39 for the PC, for example, I guarantee you go to Green Man Gaming or Instant Gaming and you can probably knock £15 off those easily. So so worth bookmarking if you're a bit of a PC gamer. Although, you know, they do Mac as well.
Just Cause 4 is out, according to
them. It's coming out, yeah.
It's coming.
That's fact. Just Cause 3 was a nightmare. Come on.
I loved Just Cause
3. I know, I'm holding it right now. If I was 12, I would love this game.
No, I'm 50 and I love it.
Ewan is 12.
It's one of the few shooting games I can actually play.
Yeah, it's very arcadey, and I see you've got an Xbox One here as well, which is pretty cool.
Just Cause 4 is going to be £60. Xbox One.
Well, they always say that, and what you'll find is, again, on Green Man Gaming, etc., if you pre-order, you'll get a better price for that.
Well, that's the thing that's kind of really weird about that Green Man Gaming, because actually you, I was looking through it, it's like Assassin's Creed Origins, which I know has been out a while, but 56% off.
Yes.
However, Bus Simulator 18 has only got a fiver off. At 20%. Just like, I'd have been trying to shove Bus Simulator out the door like you wouldn't believe. Like a non-fee-paying fare.
I'll tell you, the train simulator and bus simulator, if you're not from England, you don't know what you're missing. The train simulator, I have done the Birmingham Grand Central to London Euston.
Right.
And it's fantastic.
Is it really?
I've watched the video, and you can sit there and you play with all the knobs. You wait for the signs. You've got all the proper sounds. You can watch it from the cockpit. You can watch it from the side. All the timetables are in real time.
Can't you drive the train, though?
Yeah, you're driving the train. You've got the accelerator throttle, if you like, or was it?
You're right.
You've got all the comms open as well. I know, we're geeking out on trains.
So, I'm just thinking the only reason really to have that is so you can crash into another train, right?
Well, I don't know whether you've got it, but it made me laugh because it's
you
like...
You can't crash into another train. They've blown the whole
But
you can't cause a whole
exactly. Train simulator is the wrong name. What they should call it is Derail 35 or something like that.
Derail 35. Right. Exactly. Now with crash action, it's
extra here. Points if you kill someone on a level crossing.
You get a carnage count, you know.
You do get a carnage. But what's really good is it's funny enough that you've mentioned this, but I actually clicked on the YouTube video, the guy going off about it, and he was quite comical the way he was talking about Train Simulator. But I found myself intrigued, and I ended up watching it for like 20 minutes because you even open the doors, as the real button to open the doors, and then the camera zooms out from the cockpit and shows you the platform, which is all perfectly recreated. The platforms are the real platforms, and you see the doors actually open, and as you know, anybody who knows about Virgin trains, the little step comes out from under.
Yeah.
You see all the animation, it's all there. It's incredible. If you're interested,
do you get minus points if you pull in the station and you don't let people out?
Well, this is it made me laugh because the people kind of just walking along. Trust me, when you get to Grand Central, the heave-ho to try and get on any train is, you can't replicate that on a computer game.
Have they sorted out the new timetable yet?
I don't know. But it's the fact you can go from like crew, you know, you get the crew.
Crew is the interchange of Britain, mate.
It's
you can't
amazing.
Go anywhere in Britain from north to south without going through crew and changing. How dare you?
But I'll try and find the video I saw, and I tell you, you'll be intrigued. I hate trains.
You're joking. I love trains. Brilliant. Nothing better than a first-class breakfast.
What's a train?
What's a train?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes they run on time.
You know, we don't have them here.
Oh,
right?
They nearly always run on time. That's not fair. I'm not having that.
Yeah, you've not gone to Aberystwyth very often, have you?
Oh, that train's a different thing. That's not a train.
That's a
Reva. Reva trains whale service, calling it Kaizus Aberystwyth.
You want to have a good exercise in understanding the massive failures of bureaucracy and politics in California. Just do some research on our super train that we're building here, the massive waste of funds that it is, and it's a joke.
So I got the train back from Birmingham because I had work, and we drove out in one car. And I said, I'll get the train back on the Wednesday. I'll do the job on Thursday. It'll be fine. So Sharon said, right. I said, it's a 4-hour train, but I mean, we are in the back end of nowhere here. So anyway, I got it from Port Maddock, and I hadn't realised that if we'd have driven for 40 minutes to Dalgethley, it would have taken me 2 hours to get home. And it's 2 hours to get from Port Maddock to Dalgethley, and then it speeds up because you change.
There you go.
They take the donkeys everywhere. Off the front, don't they?
They do, yes. Sweep the hay out the back.
Muller's new game that might catch on, Grand Train Auto.
Coming soon, DLC available.
Michael thing is...
There you go.
Spell Grid 2. I can't work out how to do... I need to sit and learn some serious stuff. No, it won't let me do it. Scale fit, no, it won't let me do it. There we go. It's just, I don't know how to, I can't, I need to learn how to drive this. I'm crap at it. But it's good because what it is it's like, I recommended a grid game where you look for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 letter words, that kind of stuff, a while ago. And it's good, but you get 5 hints or 7 hints and then you don't get any hints at all. The thing with this one that's quite nice is it shows you all of the available words. And then you have to sit there and go, right, well, if D's the first letter and L's the third letter, what could the other two be? And it really works well. I really enjoy this game. And I finished the grids, which is good. And I learn new words because I'm finishing the grids. So it's really, really cool. And it's completely free.
Why?
There you go. And there's no in-app purchases either. Oh, there is. There's a pack of in-app purchases. But it's you don't need it. It's brilliant. Well worth having.
Yeah.
Excellent. Right. Where can we get a hold of you, Adam?
You can find me at maccast.com and also Maccast. Just search for that in your favorite podcast app. You'll find the show and Maccast on Twitter.
And I've still forgotten to do the bash. Even though I called you to offer it, I've still forgotten to do the bash. What a wanker.
And make sure that you get your ticket for the bash.
There you go.
And there's hotel rooms available at the Buena Vista Social Club.
Buena Vista.
Yeah, the bash is coming up 6th, 7th and 8th of July. If you'd like a ticket, then please get one booked now. It's britishtechnetwork.com/bash tickets. You can come. We've got a few people coming now. It's great. Now I've said, please buy one because I've paid for the venue already. Everyone's bought one, so... we've got a good lot of people coming back. All the usual suspects will be there. There'll be loads of fun and games. The World Card Cutting Championships. We're going to have a Mac show here first at 4 p.m. on the Friday afternoon. Then we'll mosey on over for a curry. We probably don't eat till about 8 o'clock. So if you're finishing up late at work and you think, oh, I won't make the curry, you probably will. We'll walk in about 6:30, but we won't eat until nearly 8. And then it's back to mine for a few drinks and sit out in the lovely, hot, warm evening, I hope. And then we'll you still need to stop talking when I do, and then you get up on Saturday and you have the bash with us, and then there's a Nura curry at my house in the evening if you really want to, and then there's breakfast at my place on the Sunday. It's a great weekend, so get yourself booked in. If you're coming in and going, oh, I should do the bash really just because it'd be great, come along. You'll meet loads and loads of people there who you know their voice and that kind of stuff, and who you've heard us refer to on the podcast. So I don't think Bob's coming anymore though.
Bob's left
when
the chat.
When is it again?
Bob's left the chat because we did the cool things. 6th, 7th and 8th of July.
If anybody has a private jet they want to fly me over, I'll come.
Sold. There's got to be a listener. If you're a rich listener and you can fly Adam over, then just let me know. He'll even go on a standard flight in economy.
In a suitcase.
I'll go.
It doesn't need to be
cheap,
a private
cheap
plane.
As, cheap as heck if someone wants to pay for it.
Can't you mail yourself?
You can row.
Just put yourself in a trunk with some food.
Bro. James, where can we get a hold of you?
Yes, you can find me at James Rickards on Twitter. I promise I check my Twitter often.
No, you don't. You've lost work because of it.
Yes, I do. I'm quite excited just on the back of this. I'm going to get to go to Kismet, aren't I?
Kismet, yes.
Kismet. I'm actually going to go. Now, I've heard you and Bang on the bucket list for years. So I'm actually going to tell you. Next week, I'll tell you if it's any good. And I'll be honest.
Good man.
Thank you. Lots of fun. Thank you for you and for his lovely company today.
Otherwise, you won't say it's good.
You buy me curry.
I'll buy you curry.
If you buy me curry, I might sell you a speaker.
You've made the effort to come here from France, mate. Of course I'm going to buy you a curry.
Oh, that's too kind. I was going to say, well...
And you get a speaker
throw. With a free speaker. Yeah, by the way, I'm taking the speaker off you.
Kismet curry with a free speaker.
There you go. Oh.
And Muller, where are you, mate?
Muller Biker on Twitter.
And joining us for curry as well as.
I'm going to take one of these.
With a free home pod.
We're off to go and tell
I mean, they're no good in
Siri.
Yeah.
If you come to the bash, you get a free home pod donated by James. There you go. As well as. And if anyone has got a plane that's airworthy that can get Adam over here, then let us know. Or buy him a ticket. That's all he needs.
My friend's got a Spitfire.
I don't think it's going to make it, mate.
He might have to refuel a few times on the way over.
Yeah. Stop at Greenland. Newfoundland. Greenland.
Actually, isn't Trump coming over in July, can't
he? Yeah, there we go. Do you know him?
I don't know Trump, no, but he tweets a lot. Just follow him.
I mean, there's got to be loads of extra room, hasn't there? He only wants a bit of floor space on Air Force One.
Yeah, just butch him up a bit.
Can you imagine Trump sitting there and Adam in the corner curled up going, just ignore me, just imagine.
I'm not here. You're in a safe place.
Here before you know it.
I'm Secret Service.
Yeah. Right, we're off to have a curry. Thanks ever so much for listening. My name's Your Ranking. Get me at Your Ranking Twitter, and you can follow the network on @BritishTech. We're going to do a few little tests on the speakers and let you know what it sounds like for classical and jazz and all that kind of stuff. And we might even play Aya by Steely Dan, which Bob keeps crapping on about. So I can say it now. He's gone.
We love him.
See you next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.